The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is December 1st, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Listen to the last show we did. It's up there. I just did it with Dr. Wong on Friday. Men, if you're interested in testosterone and how to build it, obviously we used his products because I think they're one of the best out there. Go out and check it out. The show has done phenomenal. So, big show. Dr. Wong straight up on the board. You'll be able to get a hold of him. He announced on the show, and he'll be coming on twice a month starting in February of next year. It'll be every other month, and I couldn't be happier. So, go out to www.docsprefer.com. Also, Sorenex, sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. They're sponsoring me for Iceland, too. Bert is on here monthly, and his dad will be coming on, it looks like, every other month in 2016. So we locked up another old-timer. That's what we're trying to do here. We got John McKean. We've got Bill Hinburn, and we've got Brooks Kubik coming back. I believe it's December 12th. So we've got the best of the best out there, so check all that out. Also, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, go out and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free book, and people are blowing through it because I can see the people coming in every day signing up for it. I thank you for that, but remember this, will change your life. All you have to do is commit and take action, so check that out. Also, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success. Also, the winner's circle, strength times power is all shot in HD, and I'm narrating it with Dennis, who lost 40-plus pounds over here, is doing all the exercises. So that's a big, big product there. The winner's circle is all, that's all vocal. There's 12 modules. It's incredible. 27 to 34 minutes. It'll get you anywhere you want to go. So check that out, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and make some changes in your life. 2016 is almost here, so you can really make a big positive effect on what you want to do next year. Also, sponsorship is huge here, and we're running a big special starting today. Between today and the end of January 2016, you can get on board with us for $100 a month. That's 5 to 15 shows a week. Who's doing it for $100 a month? And $30 of that is coming out to go to the Kids of Muscular Dystrophy Association for flu shots. And also, too, both sites are in honor of my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy as a young teenager. So jump on board. Be part of the million strong here. Listener-wise, participation. Time to jump in the game, man. $100? I mean, I would think anybody that's got a business could jump right on it. You're going to get traffic. You can ask anybody here. You get traffic no matter what. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com or go out to MotivationMuscle.com. Fill out the form. You're all set. Chris Bigelow does everything here from Monster Development, 800-687-1609. Don't forget about Hearts Collision. This is for upstate residents only. HeartsCollision.com. Go out and check that out. Today is Tuesday, and we have Roger LaPointe on, who's been on here from the beginning. Roger, in case you're not familiar with, he is the president of Atomic Athletic. He's an Olympic lifter. He likes to lift some stones. He's very much in the history of weightlifting itself. And today, before I bring Roger in, we're going to talk about the clean and press. It looks a lot like a bent press. He's got a great picture of John Grimmick, which I'll be putting up later on this afternoon on the blog, Fiorello Barbell Co. But we're going to get into, obviously, if I didn't say it, we're going to get into the clean and press, which is, You know, it's another one of those movements. I've touched upon this on shows with other people and some of the stuff I've written lately. Think about it. The bent row, you don't see that anymore. Dips, you don't see that really anymore. Clean and press, you're not going to see that a lot. And even in these big gyms, it's really a movement that, like the other two, it's kind of been like just shadowed, and we're going to bring it back out today, and we're going to discuss it, and we're going to see what happens with it. Raj, welcome to the show, brother.
Glad to be here.
Why don't you give everybody a short bio, and let's smoke right into clean and press.
Yeah, my name's Roger LaPointe. I got my professional start in the fitness industry working for the York Barbell Company as their Olympic lifting advisor, and you know, it was sort of the kind of dream job that you hope for. They sent me around to different countries. I dealt with the Olympic Committee, wrote articles, did PR, brokered deals with Olympic committees and gyms, all that kind of deal. But they brought me on both for my professional background as well as the fact that I actually lifted, because they needed somebody who was a real lifter.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, it seems like a no-brainer, but you know, they wanted somebody who was actually in the gym and could talk the talk and do the PR at the same time. Anyway, I fell in love with the press probably because of Norbert Szymanski.
Mm-hmm.
When I started lifting and was working with, you know, I got into it with Dr. Bob Cejeda, who is Norb's protege. I eventually met Norb and started seeing the numbers that Norb would do. You know, he could clean and press 410.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in actual competition. So when I started seeing, wow, people talk about, you know, I'm in the 400 bench club.
Right.
There's a whole world of difference right there. You know, you got to clean that weight first, and then you're standing pressing it under Olympic rules. It's not, you know, you're not doing any kind of jerking movements and stuff like that. Although, once the late 60s were fully in swing, you had especially Soviet lifters doing what was called a layback. And there are some really extreme photos of mostly the lighter weight guys doing that.
Yep.
But, you know, I found this photo of John Grimmick, and this show isn't about John Grimmick. It just happens that he had this amazing photo that I found done for Mark Berry. And you can see him doing this totally illegal layback. So I have no idea how much this barbell would have weighed.
Yep.
It's a big globe barbell from Milo. So, it, you know, it may have only weighed 100 pounds because it was empty, although it's got bigger heads than certainly my Milo equipment has. And they did all kinds of custom stuff. So, you know, it's got big heads, whatever. The real deal with this, though, is the layback. And, it, you know, I'm going to send you a copy of this photo for your site, so that people can really get the idea of what I'm talking about, because he is bent, and I know you've seen the little snapshot I took of it with my phone.
Yep.
Where you tell me, Eric, is he not bent into a U shape?
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. That glow barbell, I mean, it's awesome looking. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it reminds me of Serge Redding, the way he used to press. I mean, you know, he was bent back. Not as much, I don't think, but he was bent pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But that's just the way these guys did it. It doesn't take anything away from their press, in my opinion. I know everybody was like, you know, bolt upright. Yeah, I got it. But, you know, when you got an exorbitant amount of weight, you're going to thrash that shit over your head any way you can. And, you know, who's going to say that Grimmick or Serge Redding, you know, were bullshit lifters? No one is,
well,
you know,
yeah.
especially when it comes to pressing, let's face it. So, you know, one thing about all this pressing is this. I think pressing overhead is really, you know, in my opinion, I think there's a lot of great exercises out there. Let's face it, man. I still think out of everything out there, the clean and jerk is the king. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because not only the level of the coordination and the athleticism you have to have, man, you got to be one strong-ass fucking guy or girl to be able to get into a split like that and shove that thing overhead. Like, you go out and watch some of these athletes, the way they're so coordinated, man. It's like everything goes snap, 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 boom. That's what it is.
Yeah, and there's no screwing around.
There's no, well, hell no, especially when you got something, you know, like a Tarasenko weight over your head of over 560 pounds, you know. Let's face it, but, you know, what's been lost here in the clean and press, in my opinion, is, I mean, walk into any gym in the United States. Now, okay, let's go on 100%. I've been through enough places in my lifetime with commercial gyms. Out of 100%, if I've walked into 2% and seen anybody doing a press or even any type of room where they had a platform, there's only one place in my entire time. Now, I haven't been every gym in the world. There's a gym out in Seattle. It was pretty hardcore, and I couldn't believe it when we walked back there, and there was a separate room with the big chalk bin there, you know, that and it's sitting there, and a platform, and they had everything locked and chained. Believe it or not, it was all Alico, man. And it wasn't just for people that had trained there. If you could come there and do it, you could go to the management, and they would allow you to use it. It was incredible. I think, anything with a clean and press, dumbbells, barbells, log, do it any way you want. Word it any way you want. You know, some people like to take and put a stone over their head. You know, if you,
that's
right?
Me. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I love stone pressing. I think it's great.
Right. And I think it's awesome. I think sandbags, anything, man. All right. I like the awkward objects. Let me put it to you this way. I love weights. Don't get me wrong. But over the last probably 5 to 8 years, I've become so... such a proponent and I'm very proficient in some of it overhead, where whether it's a keg, a log, a sandbag, a stone, you know, I don't care if you can lift an anvil over your head. All right. A press is a press is a press. All right. And what I like about the other objects are they're a little bit awkward. They're a little bit harder to get under. And if you can be successful with them, which you will be eventually, what can I say? I mean, look at, you and I talked before the show. The bench press, I'm talking way back when. I think it was a fundamental lift. Now, look, I'm not a big believer on...
But like Szymanski.
Correct.
Could do, I believe it was a 5 1/4 touch and go.
Yeah.
Bench press.
Yeah.
And
that's brutal, man.
Which
that's
is
brutal.
Like unbelievable. Yeah. And he wasn't wearing a shirt.
Well, that's
there
right.
Weren't the drugs available then. This was, you know, back in the 50s, early
yep.
50s.
Yep.
And he was not a super heavy even.
Nope.
You know, so, you know, what I wanted to point out with this photo right here
is that
some of the technique involved in it, if you look at Grimmick's numbers at this time. And I found some of those numbers. Now, Grimmick was only pressing 230 in competition, right. But he weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah.
So, like, when you post this photo on your site,
yep.
We're going to put
yep.
a 180-pound John Grimmick,
yeah.
And that 230-pound press that he would have done in competition
yep.
would have been bolt upright military yes. press.
Yep.
The exact opposite of what this photo is here.
Right.
He was doing things like this to train for the other lift.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in competition, you've got your perfectly straight back, your heels together and parallel and all that sort of thing. In this photo, you know, he's wearing a swimsuit and he's on the beach doing it.
Yep.
Training
yep.
on the beach, right?
Yep.
And I know he was a big fan of hanging out on the Jersey Shore
yep.
and doing hand balancing and, you know, tossing girls up in the air and all that kind of good stuff. Well, we don't know how heavy this barbell was, but we can be darn well sure he was doing this to train for the other one. And it looks
oh, yeah.
like, it, you know, if you look at the photo, his hips are actually forward of his toes.
Yep.
And I'm talking about, you know, his butt, I think, is forward of his toes. He's leaned an arch so far back. But the amazing thing about it is that barbell
yep.
looks to be directly above the center of gravity of his feet.
Yep.
So if you draw that line there,
yep.
it's perfectly there. So he's
yeah.
moving his body to get the strongest position. Now, if you're training for strongman contests,
yep.
You're training for bench pressing, you're training for any other sport. Let's say you're a football player and you don't care what your, you know, 1930s era standing military press looks like. You just
yep.
want to be strong as an ox.
Yep.
My guess is this is the kind of lift that you want to merge into in a perfect world.
Hell yeah.
Because that is full body right there.
Oh.
I mean,
well, all right. See, and this gets back to today's world, okay? And I totally believe this. Look, at lifting, you can say has gotten better, stayed the same, maybe gone the other direction. But the ingenuity, whether they knew it or not back then, and maybe it was also what they had laying around at the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many articles I've read, you know, where you know, we weren't furnished with a gym today where you got, well, I'll say, quote unquote, the top of the line shit, which is, I think, a lot of bullshit. But I think a lot of this stuff we see, and I'm not saying Grimmick, but maybe it was at the time. It could be anybody, all right? What you had around you, you worked with. And, you know, we look at these pictures of these old timers with the globes, whether they're a barbell, dumbbell, some big chunk of iron they're just lifting up or carrying with one hand. You know, I've seen great pictures of these dudes, you know, you have too over the years. Look at the size of some of these anvils these guys are grabbing onto on the horn and just holding it, man. I mean, does anybody realize how strong you got to be to grab that horn and be able to pull that thing and stand there with it off the ground? My point is this. I just think a lot of this stuff, and I want to start doing some investigating, and maybe we'll start doing this on shows. I'd like to know, you know, if we can find stuff. I know it's hard, but what did these guys have around them at that time? You know, did they only have maybe a big globe barbell that they had to learn how to lift, how to support, how to clean if they had to do that? Same way with the dumbbells. Same way with big flour sacks, whatever it was. I think that's very interesting. And when I see pictures of, like, Grimmick with that big monster like that, those globes, I'm saying to myself, okay, Where was he? Was he? Was this at York? Do you know where that was taken, Roger?
No. Okay. I'm guessing it was on the beach.
But, I mean, do you think that was part of some York stuff or just somebody did a photo shoot with him?
Oh, no. This was a photo shoot for Mark Berry's one of his books.
Okay.
And,
but you get what I mean, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get it. One of the things that I've been doing for years, as you know, is investigating these old gyms and what did they actually have in them. You know, to kind of give you an idea, Bill Lilly was a professional lifter who was contemporary with Grimmick, but a little older. Okay. At a meet in the same article where I mentioned those lifts of Grimmick, says Bill Lilly posed and demonstrated his ability at the shoulder bridge lift. We talked about the shoulder bridge press.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Taking 340 pounds, he tossed it up, then placing the weight on the soles of his feet, executed several leg presses.
Yep.
So, Grimmick was not the only person doing this style of a standing press for training.
Yep.
That would have been standard. My guess is if he can do a shoulder, if Bill Lilly can do a shoulder bridge pullover and press with 340.
God.
It's like an unbelievable amount of weight.
It's really hard to think about, you know what I mean? The execution of that. I mean, think about that.
I tried the other day actually putting one of my unloaded Milo bars actually on my feet. I had some work boots on.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get it there.
Nah,
it was like, how did these guys do that with the amazing flexibility that they had and the strength? So, just another numbers thing. So at that event, Grimmick competed, and he weighed 180 pounds. He pressed 230 and a half that day, and he was lifting for the Shore Athletic Club, which would have been the Jersey Shore. Earlier in that month, December 1st, in Wilmington, Delaware, Grimmick lifted for records and succeeded, they say. He made a press behind the neck of 208.5 and a two-hands continental press of 264, and his body weight was 184.
Mm-hmm.
So, that layback press that he's doing there wouldn't have even been legal for the continental press.
Right.
But that was something that they did to get stronger for other lifts. So, we've talked about some of the accessory lifts that guys can do to increase their upper body strength in an old school fashion with minimal equipment.
Yeah.
And I put together six lifts here that would have been contemporary with this photo that Grimmick certainly did. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. He would have been doing weighted dips.
Yep.
Because they had parallel bars. Parallel bars were something that were part of gymnastics. And guys were really pushing the weight with that. They were doing the French press, which is that standing press with your hands close together, where it's basically a tricep extension.
Yep.
And, you touch the bar to the back of your neck right at the traps and go back up. It's a very strict thing.
Definitely.
It meant specifically to work the forearms and the triceps for pressing.
Okay, so let's stop right there for 1 second.
Yep.
And here's something. Now, you just named two brutal exercises, all right? And let's just touch upon this quickly. this is the point of this whole show we're talking about today. Think about this, all right? Dips, weighted or not, and you know most of those guys all use big weights. You know, think of Marvin Eater, but that's another – we've talked about Marvin Eater before. And then think about the French press, all right? And these guys weren't using, like, a bar with 5 pounds on each side. These guys – but before you even think about that, think about you're cleaning that weight because there's nobody handing that shit to you. And I don't want anybody trying to hand me something over my head, all right? And think about what you're building there. You don't see this shit anymore. This is the point I said in the beginning. Dips, bent rows, clean and press. Roger, how many guys could even execute a French press today if you walked up and said that to them?
I don't know. Most people wouldn't even know what a French press is. Okay. Some people right. will say, well, is that like a skull crusher on a bench?
Yeah, yep.
Well,
yep.
It's a different thing.
And let me ask you this, all right? I know what we all like to do on our back and whatnot like that, but how many things in life do you do laying down? Now, skull crusher, somebody argue with me, oh, great exercise, you're laying down, you got a tricep bar, and boom. Yeah, all right, whatever. All right, so just move. All right, so we got what, three more movements you're going to hit besides those two? But I just wanted to raise that because, once again, our whole mission here is to show people that there are alternatives, but the stuff we talk about is called grit. This is serious grit you're playing with. But then, once again, we can pass this on to you. You want to get big and huge? Keep listening. Okay, take it away, my friend.
So the next one I put in there is a competition-style dumbbell swing.
Oh, yeah. Which, between the legs. You're talking between the legs, right? Two hands between the legs?
No, I'm talking about one-handed.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, Grimmick did over 250 pounds.
And weighing at what, 180, 185?
I mean, think about that. He probably weighed 190.
Yep. Jeez, wow, that's a stretch, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And, when he did his best competition-style dumbbell swing, it was at a Mr. Universe contest in public.
Yep.
And, he was already Mr. Universe. He was not competing in that contest, but they brought him up to just do a quick demo because people were fans. So what that does is that's going to help your overhead position. It's going to help you with your lift off the ground, all that kind of thing. Next, the crucifix hold.
Yep.
The competition-style crucifix hold, you really get into that. That is an amazing lift. And that would have been something that those guys definitely would have done because it's a lift that does not require as much weight.
Yep.
But if you've got dumbbells or kettlebells, which you would have been able to get with your Milo set at the time.
Yeah.
You could get huge bang for your buck. And you could also work that extreme layback position, which guys did. In fact, if you look at Willoughby's book, The Super Athletes, he rails about people claiming that they're doing a crucifix hold, but they've got way too much layback and they're cheating and all that sort of thing. Don't think of it as cheating. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a power lift that you're doing so you can do a maximum amount of weight. You're actually doing your biggest weight by doing that. And let's say you want to impress your friends with a bench press because, everybody's seems to have a bench press, right? So you go to your buddy's house. Yeah, I understand you're a big lifter. Let's see what you bench.
Yeah.
And then you go on the bench press, even though you haven't been benching for over a month, and you just crush everybody.
Yep.
So then I throw in the classic alternate two dumbbell clean and press. So you clean that pair of dumbbells to your shoulders, and you're alternate pressing them. you're halfway through the movement as the other hand is going up. You know,
the
dumbbells are passing each other. You're not doing one and then the other. Doing them
It's just like a big piston.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That is a phenomenal lift. I used to do those a lot way, way back when, man. I think dumbbells for pressing, I got to say I like them better than doing a barbell overhead. I'll tell you, I just think that, you know, once again, one arm stronger, less stronger, depending on what side, it puts limitations on you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what you're going to say. Well, the same thing could happen overhead, all right? But think about this. How strong that arm is, that's why I like doing one-sided training. It dictates what you're going to lift, all right? So if you're a person that likes to work very hard, wants to get those big cantaloupe deltoids on you, football deltoids, whatever we used to call them, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, I don't know. I said the clean and jerk, obviously, I think is the biggest strength movement out there. But I think for all around, you know, if you could only do a few things, and let's say you can only do one movement, clean and press with dumbbells can take care of anything. Look at people's thighs and shit if they're doing them correctly with a dumbbell press. I mean, you look at the flare in them, because if anybody knows anything about pressing dumbbells, you got to flex your legs, man, unless you're using them to kick the weight up too. But go and look at any of these people who put big weights over their head. I mean, obviously, I know they're doing front squats. I know they're doing rear squats. I got the whole picture. But look sometime at somebody standing. I don't care if they're bolt upright or bent. Look at the leg development on these people. So I think the standing dumbbell press, like you just said, the alternate or any form of it, I think it's one of the finest movements you could ever put your hands on.
And that's also why I included that competition style dumbbell swing.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, and really, if you're doing it with the right hand, you should be working it with the left also. You know,
absolutely.
Have the balance in there. But, you know, between that and it may be the one hand dumbbell snatch.
Yep.
You're not going to get more weight overhead unless you've decided to really dedicate yourself to the bent press.
You know, yep.
The old school bent pressing with one hand, either dumbbell or barbell.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a lost art today.
Well, it is. And you know something, Rod, you and I both know you're going to need someone to teach you that correctly. I mean, you can go out and try that on your own, but that could end up, you know, maybe waging war on something you don't want. And no, it is. It's another lost movement. But you know something? The world now is big arms, big pecs, and if your legs look like chicken bone legs, who gives a shit, right? Because most of these guys could walk in on their arms because they're as big as their thighs. Now, you and I both know, and I know we're getting off the track a little bit here, but here's the deal, and this all goes with pressing. You better have a hell of a lower end on you, and, you know, obviously your back. We know all that. But if you're not going to do any squats or you're not going to do anything that's going to really engage legs, you know, we're talking, it could be iron boots, it could be, you know, calf machine, standing calves with a barbell across, whatever you want to do. You're not getting far in that. But, you know, it's the mentality now where, you know, bench pressing is the king, and I'll reiterate that again. At one time, it was a very, very good movement, but I don't like guys that are arching and taping and suiting and ammonia and, you know, the whole deal. If you want to do that, be my guest, but, you know, I want to see you lay down straight. All right, let's say you can bench 500 with all the gear on you. Let's have you stripped down, and you got to keep your body flat on the bench, and let's see if you can even move a 400-pound bench press. I would say most people it's 50-50, maybe less.
Yeah, you've really hit on it there. And one of the things that I love, and in this same – this is that photo comes out of an advertisement.
Yeah.
Mark Berry from 1935, okay?
Yep.
So it, in that same ad is a photo of another guy, and it's not Grimmick. I don't know who the other guy is, but this guy, and my guess is it's this Bill Lilly.
Yep.
The spinal erectors on this dude, he's clearly doing some kind of a side press with a dumbbell.
Sure, sure.
And all he's wearing is, you know, he's on the beach also. He's got lifting shoes and a swimsuit, right?
Yep.
And he's got this big dumbbell almost into lockout position overhead. Mm-hmm. But it's a shot taken from the back.
Oof.
And you see spinal erectors where, you know, people went nuts over Grimmick and all the, you know, hoopla about John Grimmick, right?
Yep.
I want to know who this guy is, because honestly, his spinal erectors look even better than Grimmick's.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the photo, it looks like the guy might be balding, which means to me that unlike Grimmick, who was probably 19, 20 years old when this pressing photo was taken.
Yep.
This guy is probably closer to mid to late 30s, if not older. Who knows?
Beast.
It could have been Otto Arco for all I
know. Oh, I mean, legendary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the spinal erectors on that dude, you know, for my money, and I mean, take a page right from Dr. Ken Leisner, okay? He has a football player, college football player, come to him, wants to play pro football. And he says, I want you to work with me. Doc says, okay, what do you want? He says, I want a giant neck and an ass that can crush a Volkswagen.
That's perfect. Yep.
Exactly. And Dr. Ken's response, we can do that.
Yep.
And I can totally picture him saying that.
Yep.
Well, this guy, there is no way you're going to see this guy with spinal erectors like this on a beach and say, yeah, you know, his arms aren't that big. He can't be that tough.
Yeah, right.
No. You see a guy with a back like this where he doesn't have, and we call it the ILS syndrome, the imaginary lat syndrome.
Yeah.
We've all seen it. The guy's, my arms are way out here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
We have no idea what this guy's lats looks like.
Yep.
But his spinal erectors are so big that they're bulging as they go up to his traps.
Yeah.
And the traps form that triangle in the back. So they actually deviate along the trapezius.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it. And
the only guy I've ever seen with spinal erectors besides Rigert was that picture of Ahola on the cover of Iron Mind. I mean interrupt you, but I mean that is
no,
the key.
For a modern guy,
and you know this for sure. If you got a pair of erectors on you like that go from the top of your neck, or we'll say the lower part of your neck down to your just above your ass cheek, you're lifting pretty much whatever you want. And I'll challenge anybody on that. I've read so many things through the old Perry Rader Iron Man, Strength and Health, any of this stuff, man. Look at even the Milo stuff from back in the 90s, early 2000s when they used to hit a lot on that. Before we go back, I'll put it this way. Whatever the deal was with Ahola, whether that was political and he got forced out or whatever, because what was his name? Pujanowski was coming in.
Yep.
And I've heard tons of stuff about why Ahola just went, okay? He would have won more, but here's the bottom line. Look at his back and look at what he used to lift. And, you know, by today's standards at 275, he's tiny. They say he could never win today. Maybe yes, maybe no. But even back then, he was going against over 300 pounders all the time. he was kicking their fucking face in whenever he had to, man. So the back, the legs, the hams, all these things that most people say, I can just do some light stuff, they'll be fine. Well, that's great, but you're never going to be doing stuff like a Grimmick, or if that man's name was Lily. I mean, you know, we got the picture here. I mean, I hope you can find who that was, because if we can, it'd be cool if we could do some research and maybe get, you know, talk about this guy, because he had to be something special to be built that big. That just doesn't come by accident.
No. And, you know, you obviously appreciated my bringing up Otto Arco.
Absolutely.
Otto Arco was a hand balancer, an acrobat, and gymnast that was a vaudevillian.
Yep.
I am thinking this is probably Otto Arco, because I think the globe dumbbell he's lifting in this photo is the same vintage Milo duplex dumbbell that I own, which I, I've had that for a long time too. I don't have the plates that go inside it, but he looks like a smaller guy, which I know Arco was. Arco was around 5'2", 5'3", so he was around my height.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that the globes are around that size. And Arco's show partner, they billed themselves as brothers, but they weren't. They're two circus guys, right?
Yep.
And the other guy was that he normally worked with was actually even a smaller guy than Arco.
Yep.
But Arco had virtually no body fat.
Yeah, definitely.
And to the extent that part of his show included the definitive muscle control routine. And he was doing that muscle control routine, I think, into his 60s. So, it would be consistent that this guy could be Otto Arco because of the definition that I'm seeing in his back. But there's huge musculature there, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was just some skinny guy. You would see those guys in, you know, the old Strength and Health magazines. You know, I'm doing a muscle control routine. You look at them and you're like, okay, yeah, you look like a concentration camp victim. This is not something that I want to see. This is not going to impress any girl out there. You just look ill, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Arco had the strength and musculature to back it up. And, and I talk to guys every day on the phone and women who are asking about, you know, I talk to such and such a guy who is using Lasix to diet down, and this guy is on growth hormone and steroids and whatnot. You look at somebody like Otto Arco.
Yeah.
That stuff didn't exist back then. So is it possible to build that kind of physique and strength combined without that stuff? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely it is. And in fact, if you build that kind of strength, you're going to build your physique too.
Oh, hell. Well, yeah, build does not come without anybody that thinks that you're not going to get big from lifting heavy has got something wrong with their head. I mean, the heavier you lift, the bigger you're going to get, because two things are going to happen. Your body's going to automatically grow just to be able to survive, and secondly, it's going to force you to eat what you need to eat to survive. So you're going to get the double-edged sword with it.
And it's a natural testosterone boost.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I told you we started lifting stones a week ago. We've done two workouts, just been short, nothing huge, you know, but just getting everything down going again. And I can just tell you from doing that, metabolically, I've already started changing again. So when you force yourself to do things that are very harsh in a lot of ways and things that you haven't done in a while, even though your body will remember that you have done it, it is going to force you to do whatever it needs to do to get there. And this is what a lot of people don't realize, man, because lifting is just not lifting weights, you know, or lifting stones or kettlebells or whatever you want to do. Lifting is a commitment. If you're really into it for the long haul, it's a lifestyle. But I will tell you this, I don't care what age you are, and I'm not going to go with any of these people with all their theory and bullshit that never have done anything. At any age, you can do something. It doesn't matter what it is, you can set a goal. But I will tell you this, if you haven't already done it or don't know it, you start going after something hard, things are going to change physically, mentally, within you, all right? And anybody that has never experienced it, you're going to experience then a big shock in your life. And the thing is, I can tell you, when we were out there the other day, it was raining out. It was friggin' raw out, you know? We didn't have to go and do that. We opted to do it. I mean, and we were playing with some dangerous stuff because we've got big stones that will maim anywhere they hit on your body because they're steel, number one. And number two, we were using barrels just to keep everything off the small of our back because we've got like 7 months to be training like this, so there's no reason to total yet yourself out. So when you're trying to bring these stones down at fever pitch clip and someone's on the other side, the ability for him to slip right off the end with it being soaking wet is it's very doable, okay?
You've got to be right.
Right. But my whole point with this thing, okay? Go after things you like to do because the rewards are so much bigger than the regret. And it's like, you know, we went out, we've made a pact, you know, it's like it doesn't matter what it is out. We're going out and doing this. If it means we only can train for 15 minutes because it's so goddamn cold we can't stay out there, we do it, all right? These are the points I've tried to make on these shows with everybody on. Roger and I have said this for the last year. You know, you got to commit to this thing, and no matter how uncomfortable it is, you're going to get through it and do it. And I think being uncomfortable makes you not only a great lifter, but it makes you a great leader. So I'll send it back to you. You know, lay it on me. What do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Because, you know, you've committed yourself to something, and then you've done it. And
yep.
It's not like, you know, your daddy gave it to you or something.
Right.
This is something that you've actually accomplished on your own. And it's not luck.
Yep.
I bought a lottery ticket on my own and oh, look, I won. Look at me. It's genuinely self-made.
Yep.
So, and the beauty of the progressive resistance concept is anybody who actually does that and then applies it to the rest of their life builds that foundation bit by bit by bit by bit until they've got a castle there. And it's solid.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, I bought a fast car because daddy gave me some money kind of thing. It's, I built something and look at it. This is, that's meaningful. And, it's funny looking through these, old magazines. You have, articles about, there's almost always some article about, guys getting girls, right?
Yep.
And it's interesting to look at some of those because they talk about, if you look like this, you're going to get the girls, right?
Yep.
because you're more attractive.
Yep.
But what is it that that kind of physique actually shows? It shows a dedication to an ideal that you're aiming for.
Yep.
And it's really interesting looking at these old magazines where you see that's the underlying thing about the getting the girl concept. But it makes sense. And, an employer sees the same thing.
Yep.
They say, I got a friend who's he had played football for 4 years for Indiana in the 80s, right? And when he started going for interviews to jobs, guys would say, oh, you played Big Ten football. That's cool. And the employers initially all said, if they were football fans, even if they weren't an Indiana fan, you know what I mean? Maybe they're a UNC,
sure,
Michigan State, whatever, Ohio State. But they saw, oh, this is a guy who's going to commit to something and not quit.
Exactly.
And that is a really valuable thing, in a human.
Yeah. Well, it is. And it all goes with today. I mean, you're going to have to dig deep for a lot of things. And, you want to get into a clean, you want to get into a press, or combine them both, and you're going to have to. That's the best way to do it. You want to get into these older lifts that have been, like I said, they're kind of sunsetted, a dip, a French press, a bent row, anything like that, anything one arm, anything like that, these are all big, big movements that got, pullovers. I mean, come on, high shrugs. All these things have
one-hand
massive
deadlifts,
Well, yeah, one arm row, yeah. Anything like, yeah, that. Anything with one arm, anything like that. The idea is this stuff is endless, what you can do. And, if I have my way with everybody who's on here, I mean, I want to get all these things back, whether we're all doing video of it, whether we're putting products out with it, I don't care. But these things, man, and I know the guys and gals that are listening here are all into it, and they're probably shaking their head left and right. Yes, 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 I'm with it. Raj, why don't you summarize everything, give out your information. I'll give mine, and then just hang on, if you would, for a minute, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, so when you guys go to the Motivation and Muscle website and look at this article that I'm sending up to Eric, and you see that photo there of Grimmick.
Yep.
Divorce the name from your mind.
Yep.
And think, okay, this guy couldn't do that lift in competition. Why the heck is he doing it?
Right.
There's a reason he's doing it. He's doing it because through doing that lift, everything,
yep,
else becomes better.
Yep.
And it's a training thing, and he's doing everything he can to get the most weight possible locked out overhead.
Yep.
So then you look at, okay, I can only do that specific lift for so many reps. That's sort of the pinnacle of the lift. What are some of the lifts that I can do that are going to help build that skill and that supporting structure so,
yep,
that I can get to the point of doing that? It's,
yep,
I talked to a guy who's a retired NFL strength coach the other day who had,
yep,
been we're talking about CrossFit. And, the CrossFit thing for the average person out there, I'm not talking about the people that you see in the Facebook memes and,
right,
in the CrossFit games and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the person that has no interest in that. They're just trying to do the CrossFit thing and get in tremendous shape.
Yep.
Many of those people train up to the point where maybe they can actually do some of those workouts.
Yep.
That's kind of the idea behind this photo here, is you learn the technique, and in the process, you're getting the strength. But you've got a whole huge foundation underlying it as well.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
That's what I want to point out is, this is kind of your goal.
Yep.
Hit that goal and go for it.
Yep.
That's about it. So,
okay. Give out everything, Roger.
Yep. My name is Roger LaPointe. The website is atomicathletic.com. It's spelled out exactly the way it sounds, atomicathletic.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, we've got the blog, which is not the same as the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin, the email newsletter, which is also free, and that you can sign up for on the lower left. Comes to your email. Do several of them a week. I'm not going to fill your mailbox full of a bunch of garbage, five times a day or anything like that. This is solid stuff. And then we've got the Garage Gym Journal monthly publication that you can also order.
Okay. You good?
I am good.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, HeartsCollision.com. Don't forget, too, we've got a comments page on both Motivation Muscle and iTunes. Give us a comment. Let us know what you like about the shows, if there's anything else you'd like to hear. It doesn't matter. Just tell us how you think we're doing. If there's a particular show you'd like Roger and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Don't forget this, too. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. It's free. Just give your email address. 10 paragraphs to make you think, commit, take action. I'll say no more. Don't be afraid to go out after it, don't worry about the end result so much right now. Just go out and execute. That's what most people forget to do. That's why a lot of them have massive failure. So that's just one tip out of the 10. Don't forget, too, we are getting ready to launch December 7th for the two biggest products to date, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Be on the lookout. You're going to see some new video coming up. I would hope it's out today. Wait to see the animation Chris does to introduce both products. It is absolutely beautiful. Great job. Also, too, we're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell. We're also on Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. I'm trying to think. Obviously, I said we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Go out and write a review there. Anything you got, we'll listen to. We want to know one way or the other. I'll leave you with these few things. Number one, if someone contacts you in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them your time. Words can say more than anything, in my opinion. Your words can hurt, your words can heal. Go out and set somebody straight and put them on the path to greatness. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give a hello or a smile to somebody. It might be all they get that day. Walk around and observe. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Thirdly, go out and lift some big chunks of iron and take some stones and turn them into dust. And as I say, nobody will ever clip our balls. We will be over 1 million to 2 million strong before you know it. We're working our ass off, man. We're already pledged with people to the end of April 2016 already. If you got people you'd like me to try to contact or you got somebody in mind, you can let me know at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com on that. Also, too, the best thing of all, as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, it sounds like there's testosterone seeping, pouring out of my speakers. Russell will be on next month with us. I'm sure that will be a killer show. And I thank him for that compliment. And don't forget, we will have Brooks Cubic back here in December. And I'm going to look right now. I'm going to give you the date that he's coming on here if I can find it. Brooks will be on with us December 11th on 2015, and then he will be on monthly with us starting in January of 2016. So we've got a lot of things coming, lots of surprises. You know, go out and do your Christmas shopping, whatever's on your mind. But remember this, be a steward of strength and just go out and make a difference in the world, man. Don't stand on the sideline. Go out and do something. Raj, thanks. Another great show, man.
Glad to be here, Eric. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. Roger and I will talk to you next Tuesday. And I've got, believe it or not, I was going to ease up in December. We're loaded with shows. So stay tuned. I'm going to be putting up some more pods today and try to get caught up. But that's going to take a little while, and I'm very busy behind the scenes getting ready for our big launch on Monday. So have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. And you know something, like I said, be a steward of strength. That's all you got to be. Have a great week, and we will talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.